Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
People often ask, what's your favorite celebrity moment? And I'll be honest, my favorite moments are the non-celebrities. My favorite moments are the strangers. To be in a taxi going through New York and see someone on the sidewalk wearing a piece, it's magic.
Yeah.
That to me is always the most humbling. I'm finally at a point where I don't chase her down to introduce myself and give her a hug and say thank you.
Here in New York City, one of the September traditions is Fashion Week. The city buzzes with runway shows and parties as the fashion houses present their collections for the following spring and summer seasons. Today, I'm talking to one of my favorite fashion designers, Wes Gordon, the creative director for Carolina Herrera. He presented a gorgeous collection of clothing at the Whitney Museum. He also helped to launch a book, Color Mania, that highlights the importance of color to the Carolina Herrera brand. And I'm so happy that you're here, Wes. This is very exciting and such a busy time for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. It is a busy time, but if ever there is a good moment to come here, it's now, right after we finished our collection. Market week is going on right now, and I'm not terribly helpful during that.
You're not?
No, I'm not. When people ask me the price of something, I either mistakenly go way low or way high, so they keep me as far away from market as possible.
Okay, well, you have another big thing. I mean, coming out with a book like Color Mania is a big deal.
Well, for me, it was a very big deal, but I think I just read that you're doing your 100th book?
Yes. Is this your first?
This is my first.
Well, Good luck.
Thank you.
You never know what happens in a life.
Okay, well.
You know, you're only 36 years old. I was going to say 36 effing years old. And I'm so jealous. And you have a long, long time ahead of you to be as productive as you've been in the last 36 years.
Well, thank you.
I think you're extraordinary.
Thank you.
Vogue said very nice things about you and your show.
Oh, you did your homework.
Oh, yes. Look at this. The Vogue Runway 2023, his biggest show so far at Carolina Herrera. It's been 5 years since he took over from the brand founder. There wasn't any big to-do about an anniversary, but it's no small accomplishment to hit the five-year mark in today's fashion industry when designers are moved in and out of creative director positions so regularly and even superstars are shown the door. So hats off to him.
Thank you.
And hats off to you, really, Wes. It's quite an accomplishment.
Thank you so much.
And the clothes were gorgeous. I loved that you started the show with the white blouse, the Carolina Herrera trademark. I've known Carolina Herrera for quite a while, and the last time I had her at my home, she came in Maine. She came with her family for our traditional popovers. And, you know, this wasp-waisted woman eating a popover, it just makes me laugh because then we started to talk about the size of one's waist. And okay. did I tell you what she said about the
no.
waist? Okay, well, she pointed out that a woman's waist should always be the circumference of her head.
Oh, my God.
So my head is a 22.5-inch head.
Okay.
My waist has not been 22.5 inches for about 60 years.
I think you look great. She is the queen of the witty one-liner. She has a lot of good ones.
Yeah, and we measured. I took out a tape measure.
Oh, my God.
And I made her measure her head and her waist.
What a terrible party game.
Huh? It was so fun. Ugh. It was so fun. And hers was exactly the same size.
Really?
Yes.
Well, she's fabulous.
She is a fabulous, beautiful woman.
Beautiful.
But that white shirt is iconic, and you have managed to change that white shirt so much.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about your current fashion a little bit after we get a little bit of your background. Because
okay.
I don't really know your background. I don't know where you grew up, where you went to high school.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I grew up going to a very conservative private school, where boys didn't grow up to be fashion designers. So I kind of kept this passion a secret. And I think you'd agree, but I think figuring out in life what you're passionate about is one of the greatest blessings a person can have, because then all the decisions that come after that are so much easier. Where you want to go to school, kind of internship you want to have, what kind of work you want to do. And I realized early on that I love clothes. I love the power of fashion. I think I was 4 years old sitting in my mother's closet telling her what she'd have to wear to work every day.
Did you?
And now being a father, I understand how accommodating she was, because when my son tries to do that, I ignore him completely. But then I grew up in Atlanta. I studied fashion in London at a school called...
Now, how would you find your way from Atlanta, Georgia, which is not the most sophisticated place? It's not unsophisticated.
For our Atlanta listeners, it's a very sophisticated place.
Okay, very sophisticated place. But you know what I mean.
No, but also it was a different time.
But
I mean, the world is smaller
you?
Now.
Who advised you to go to the Central St. Martin's in London, the fashion school that produced John Galliano, Stella McCartney? How did you find
your
that
level
place?
Of prep is extraordinary, Martha.
Well,
I found it on my own because the world was very different then. Now, if you're interested in something, social media has made everything much more accessible. At that time, Atlanta didn't have a fashion community.
Right.
And I was reading biographies of designers that I loved. And I kept coming across these words, Central St. Martin's. And it became my Hogwarts. It became my North Star. I knew.
And your parents said, okay.
Which is amazing, right?
Yeah.
I never even visited it.
Any siblings?
I have a younger sister.
And did she?
So
she
I was the first one to go off to school.
Wow.
And my parents let me pack a bag and go to art school in London for 4 years.
And had you been to Europe before?
I'd been to Europe before, but everyone else in my school was going to a traditional 4-year college. So really, I think every time I tell this story, how extraordinarily cool my mom and dad are.
Amazing.
And then I spent 4 years in London. While I was there, I spent my summers in New York with Tom Ford and Oscar de la Renta.
And was Tom, what was he doing then?
Tom was doing his menswear.
Oh, his own, okay.
And Mr. de la Renta was alive at the time and making beautiful collections. And I think I spent every penny in my savings account on my wardrobe for Oscar. So I was the best dressed intern, broke, but very well dressed. I would have to take the subway to work every day standing because I didn't want to wrinkle when I got to the office. And I got to be, I think partially I'll credit my wardrobe, I got to be his intern, so I'd stand next to him all day handing him pins, which was very nerve-wracking.
For Oscar?
He wouldn't turn his head to look to see where the pin was coming from. He would just put out his hand, and I would try to have to anticipate. And it was magical, and it was the magic of American fashion, you know, at this amazing time. And then after graduating, I thought, oh, as a 22-year-old, I'm qualified to start my own company. Which no one lets you do if you graduate law school, but no one seems to stop you if you graduate fashion school. So I put together a very small collection coming from a live-work studio space in the financial district and started just holding up pieces and
at
market appointments.
At 23, you had your own company.
Yeah, and, but small.
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 Yeah,
I had an inflatable mattress that I'd have to deflate in the mornings before an intern arrived.
But who bought your clothes then?
Well, I was very lucky. I managed to sell to some amazing stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, Bergdorf Goodman, Harrods.
Under what label?
Wes Gordon, my
Wes
name.
Wes Gordon.
Yep.
Was your name always Wes Gordon?
Yes, that's my full.
It is.
That's my name.
It's is not it a stage Wesley name. Or?
Weston.
Weston.
W-E-S-T-O-N. Oh,
so I like Wes
Weston
better than
Marshall
Weston.
Gordon.
Wow.
Dramatic, right?
So Wes Gordon, a very good name for fashion.
Thank you.
And knowing what you know now, what advice would you have given your younger self?
I wouldn't change one thing.
No.
I think, I don't know if you agree, but I think all experiences are super important. I think your successes, your failures, all impact you and your future and make you who you are. So I managed to do this company for 8 years, which I always tell someone to think of fashion careers and lifespans in dog years, right? Because it's a terrible business.
7 to 1?
7 to 1. So yeah. Like 56 years I had my company. Is that right? 7 times 8, yeah. You know, I met amazing people. I did things that I'm so proud of. And I developed my own taste, and I learned what I liked and what I don't liked. I learned a lot about myself. At the end of that time, I received a phone call that Mrs. Herrera, who you know, with a waist the size of her head, was in the early phases of retiring. And they were looking for someone to kind of come in and potentially be her
replacement. So you were an apprentice at first?
I was a consultant.
A consultant.
So I came in.
Which is sort of like the old-fashioned apprentice.
The beautiful thing about a consultancy is you get to go have the fun. And if something works out, you can kind of smile with pride that you played a part in it. But if it doesn't go well, you can kind of put your hands in the air and say it wasn't me. So I had a great year with her. I worked on 2 collections. And you have to remember, I grew up in Atlanta. So American fashion to me was at the epicenter of what I knew about this industry. And to grow up in America as someone who loves fashion, you know, these grand American fashion houses hold a place of real importance to you. And we don't have that many anymore.
No, we don't.
It's Oscar, Carolina, there are very few left.
Right, and a lot of the upstarts like Donna Karan, and all, they just seem to have sort of like eased away.
And America, unfortunately, has a terrible tradition of a brand surviving beyond its founder. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult conundrum in the States. So we wanted to be the exception, this time with Herrera. And I remember at the end of the year, she called me into her office and said to me that, you know, she would like me to follow in her footsteps. And they're very difficult footsteps and they're very small Manolos. So, of course, I could never do it exactly.
What size foot does Carolina have?
I don't know, but whatever, if she's listening to this, it's the perfect size foot. And I started doing my first collection there. And it was a dream. It still continues to be a dream.
So at 36, you've been working there how many years?
5 years.
Well,
6 years, one consultant.
Having amazing fashion shows that, well, the last one I saw was the one at the Plaza Hotel, that
yep.
Beautiful one. The one before that was down at the World Trade Center Park.
Battery Park.
Yeah. Battery Park, how beautiful that was. And this year at the iconic Whitney Museum downtown in the Meatpacking District. What a beautiful spot. How did that go?
It was great.
I wanted to get there. I was working that day.
Don't worry. There'll be another one. That's the beauty of Fashion Week. I loved it. You know, it's a beautiful building. It's that Renzo Piano, gorgeous building. And for anyone, I'm sure you know, but there are 4 real fashion capitals in the world. There's New York, London, Milan, and Paris. And they each have their Fashion Week, and a brand will show at one. New York goes first, and you know, New York is having a funny moment right now with its Fashion Week where a lot of brands have left. Some are showing in Paris. Some are choosing not to show. I really believe in New York. I believe in American fashion.
But yet you showed in Rio de Janeiro.
So we left and showed in Rio.
Yeah. How did that go?
But that was the main runway season. So for our main seasons, we will always show in New York. And I really wanted to double down on a fab show. And a venue like the Whitney kind of helped us do it and say, we're here, we're proud to be here.
What's the art on exhibit right now at the Whitney?
It's an exhibit called Inheritance by Rue, but we were on the ground floor, so not with the art.
Right.
But yes, we just did something called a destination show, where we took our atelier, we took our clothes, and traveled 9 hours to Rio de Janeiro to put on a fashion show for Brazil.
Same time zone, though.
Same time zone, about as far as you can go and still be in the time
right.
zone. And it was fabulous. We did this in June. It's become a very popular thing for brands to do, and it was magical. I'd never been to Brazil, so I think selfishly a part of it was choosing a venue that I wanted to go to.
Isn't it fabulous?
Amazing.
It is.
But the most fabulous thing about it are the Brazilians.
Yep.
They are just nice, happy, beautiful, wonderful people.
Did you use Brazilian models?
We used exclusively Brazilian models, exclusively Brazilian talent for hair, makeup, production, you know, all the components that make a fashion show happen. And that was something that was really important to us. You know, I think it's we were going to someone else's home. We were going to their community. We didn't want to just replicate what we do for Herrera in New York. We wanted that Brazilian point of view.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, now that you've assumed the creative direction for an established brand, Carolina Herrera, you had to really approach learning the brand's legacy, but reclaiming and keeping your own vision. Now, how hard or how easy has that been?
It's been easy for me because I'm lucky to work at a house that I love. You know, I think you see examples of a creative director going to a house where they maybe are not in sync with the heritage of that brand. And you see the struggle. I love Herrera. I love the house. I feel grateful to work there. But I'm also a 36-year-old male, a very different person than Mrs. Herrera. So when I do things, it has my own flavor naturally, but I don't ever feel anything other than the utmost reverence for what preceded me at the house. And spending that first year with Mrs. Herrera really taught me so much about her and the four decades she spent building this brand, which is extraordinary.
40 years, yeah.
So in many ways, I feel, you know, a responsibility of her legacy as a designer, but I also feel an excitement about the prospect of introducing this house to women who maybe never wore Herrera before.
And what about the old customers, the original or existing customers?
Yeah.
Have they stayed?
They've stayed. No, they've stayed. And that to me is always something I'm the most proud of. We've built the business quite a lot, and we've attracted new audiences, new markets, but never at the expense of existing clients.
Now, what's it like to see your designs on the red carpet?
On Martha Stewart?
On any of us.
It's exciting. No, people often ask, what's your favorite celebrity moment? And I'll be honest, my favorite moments are the non-celebrities. My favorite moments are the strangers. To be in a taxi going through New York and see someone on the sidewalk wearing a piece. I mean, you know these moments.
Oh,
it's magic.
Yeah.
Because there are tens of thousands of pieces of clothing that she could have gone into a store and purchased. And she chose that one. And that to me is always the most humbling. I'm finally at a point where I don't chase her down to introduce myself and give her a hug and say thank you.
And to take a picture.
But my husband, Paul, still does it.
He does. That's so great.
Yeah.
Well, in your short time as a very well-known and prominent designer, how have you seen fashion change? And what do you think of its current future?
Oh, that's a big question. So I've been working in fashion through COVID and through quarantine. And I think one big change I've seen in general, and I think it's a great one, but is I think people have overdosed on meaningless stuff. I think we're all looking to surround ourselves with pieces that bring us beauty, joy, hope, and editing out the noise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think of that when we're making a collection, right, which consists of hundreds of pieces.
How many hundreds?
Like 200.
Really? Each collection?
Each collection,
wow,
six times a year.
That is a lot.
It's a lot of clothes.
Wow, and a lot of
But it's the best work.
And a lot of fabric.
But how lucky am I?
Oh.
I get to bring, 200 times six sketches to life every year. I feel so grateful.
No, it's amazing.
But I feel a responsibility that as a person like you, who gets the magical ability to bring something from your head into existence, you have to make sure that in this day and age, it has a real reason to be.
A relevance.
A relevance,
yeah.
A soul, a purpose. So when I find myself looking at the wall in my office, which is covered with sketches, and I see something that just maybe is just another shirt or another dress, I take that away. Because,
mm-hmm.
What I think the world has learned, what our customer has learned, is you don't just need more stuff. You need more beauty and you need more joy.
And a little bit more, something unique to add to what you already have.
And something that when you put it on in the morning and you zip up the zipper, you feel like dancing, you feel like smiling. The world can be dark and scary. The things that you can control them and make them joyful.
The world is dark and scary, Wes Gordon.
The world is dark, yes, but I'm a total optimist.
But you have to make it better.
You find and cultivate beauty where you can, because there are a lot of places we can't.
So you're constantly working on the next collection.
I'm working on the next three right now.
Wow.
No, I can't write a check because I don't know the year, I don't know the month, and I don't know the day. I just walk around completely unaware of what day it is because I'm thinking about 2024, 2025.
Exactly. And so the 200 pieces, do all of them get to be manufactured in quantity? How many?
No, so we sell to order as like a luxury house. And after Fashion Week, I showed 61 looks of those pieces. So let's say that represents 110 pieces, right? Because sometimes it's a shirt and a skirt. We'll show those in market along with the rest of the collection. And then of the pieces that live, and maybe it's around 70%, those go into production.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made either in Italy or New York.
Oh, good.
A lot of local production, very close to here. I mean, New York still has a fabulous garment manufacturing community and industry.
How excellent. I didn't know so much was made here.
Yeah, I think it's, I always tell people when they walk through Times Square and the garment district, they have no idea that in these buildings above their heads are talented men and women who are sewing, cutting clothes, selling buttons, looking at fabrics. It's a real thing that still mm-hmm. exists in the city.
Well, when I worked so much on the craft departments of my magazine, we would visit all the silk flower manufacturers. Carolina Herrera was known for the silk flowers.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I
then
love them.
I was so lucky to get that beautiful navy blue, almost black boucle coat.
With the black leather
black
flowers?
With the black leather flowers. Oh. Well, now, were they made here in New York, those flowers?
So this is a business that I adore. I'm glad you mentioned it. It's a company that's a third generation, maybe?
Dolken and
Schmalberg, it's
oh,
called.
Oh, Schmalberg. Oh, yeah. See, we
family
use both
business,
of them.
Yes. And they sit in there.
Dolken and Derek
and
making.
Yes. Yeah, these businesses still exist.
And they have the old molds, and they press
oh,
the leather.
And they cut the leathers, and I go through the boxes, and I find mm-hmm. them. And something that I've done to be supportive is every Christmas, I send them all our old fabrics, and we have them made into a whole assortment of blossoms that we use as our Christmas decorations in the stores. So we put them on the trees.
Oh, fabulous.
And customers can come in and leave with the flower.
How great.
Yeah. But there's these amazing treasures still exist blocks from us in Midtown New York.
So some people have asked me, can you purchase haute couture online?
Yes. I mean, you can, you know, the world is a very online place these days. You know, the true definition of haute couture are pieces that are made for you. So that's difficult to do.
Yeah.
But I think 20 years ago, the idea of buying an expensive piece of clothing online was completely outrageous. No one would ever do it. But now it's something people are very comfortable with, thanks largely to like Net-a-Porter, Moda Operandi, companies that have really created this trust with clients. And for me as a designer, you know, it allows me to think of pieces and categories much more globally, right, rather than so specific to Madison Avenue or Worth Avenue.
So if you have someone's customer's measurements, you can create it for them. And
we can. I mean, it's a very different mindset. We were speaking earlier about bridal. I prefer to design more broadly than rather specifically to one person. Mm-hmm. I like to think of the idea of our customer. Sometimes when you work one-on-one, it can be, it's a long process.
Like a bride.
Like a bride. And we've been very lucky. We work with wonderful brides. Any brides are listening. But there's a freedom to just sketching, not knowing exactly who it's going to.
And who's going to wear it, who's going to enjoy it.
I think about interior design sometimes and how difficult it must be, because you can't just realize your own personal vision. You have to have your clients sign off on everything you would like to do aesthetically. And for me as a ready-to-wear designer, not working in couture specifically, I get to kind of dream my own dream and make it real. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, I think.
Well, you did two dresses for Beyoncé for her blockbuster tour this year.
We did. Very exciting.
That was a fashion tour de force. Everybody wanted to design for her. She has that incredible body and that incredible
She's
audience.
She's the queen.
Incredible audience. So you designed two dresses for the June 21st show. What were they like, and what was the process like?
First of all, there's no one I'm...
Did you get to fit her on her?
Not in person.
Oh, too
I haven't
bad.
Even been to the show.
Oh,
did you
no,
go?
No.
The process is we work with our team, her team. And, you know, that is a production, that show. So they are making so many clothes for her all over the world. I tried to incorporate some Herrera-isms, right? The neckline, the cape, to create pieces that felt Herrera when she would wear them, because you kind of want that, you know?
Right.
And it was amazing. I mean, having been to a Beyoncé concert before, what she does for 3 hours is superhuman. I mean, she's a phenomenal performer. And the idea that she wore pieces that we made here in New York was so cool to send her sketches, because she's very involved in the process.
Aren't you doing the ballet?
And you are so, these notes are, oh my God.
No, that's not even in the note. I didn't even see that
I need
that
to send
yet.
These notes to my
but
parents
I read,
so they're caught
I
up on everything in
the I head. Read a lot. So I kind of try to keep up with friends that I know. And but the ballet, which ballet are you going to do?
So this October, soon, with the ballet, we're doing their fall gala. And this is a traditional event. This is an event that traditionally they've partnered with a fashion brand to do the costumes. And in this case, they're redoing a Balanchine piece called Who Cares? So rather than having carte blanche to think of a crazy fantasy, I had to work with the Balanchine Trust, which was a really fun project to create what is essentially the third iteration of costumes for this piece.
Third.
So we had to adhere to the original colors and shapes.
Which are?
Sunset tones. Mm. You know, it's a piece that's very much kind of jazz age and kind of martinis at the Rainbow Room kind of vibe. So really respect his vision, which the Trust does an amazing job of ensuring people do, to create what will become now the new official costumes for this Balanchine piece.
Unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town. I wanted to go. I got the invitation, and I wanted to go so badly when I saw you were involved.
Oh, thank you.
And it's going to be extraordinary.
I think it should be a fun night. I'm actually quite nervous about it. I just had a fitting today.
Oh.
Because it's a very different thing than I'm used to. You're designing performance wear.
Yeah.
It's not, you know.
Fabrics are different.
I wanted to put embroidery in a certain place, and I couldn't because one of the male dancers' hands has to go there. So it's a real learning experience for me. You can fake a picture. Like, I can make something look good in a picture. But it's a lot harder to fake 90 minutes of someone jumping up and down on a stage. So,
well, talking about faking pictures, this color mania.
Oh, color
mania. It's not exactly faking pictures, but this photographer, you all have to see this book. It's published by Rizzoli, just hot off the press.
Hot off the press.
Hot. Color and Fashion, and it is a bright, bright pink. It's a Barbie pink cover.
Herrera pink cover.
Yeah, well, I guess Herrera color. Okay, it came first. She came first, right? Who came first?
No, Barbie, I think.
No, Barbie
first.
Did. Yeah. With red type, and the pictures are...
And don't forget my yellow edge
who
that I had to
this?
Fight for. So the book opens with Dove Cameron, who's your grandkids would know. Is
oh,
it?
Yes.
Yeah, a global pop star. And this book is the story of a collaboration I did with this amazing photographer over 5 different shoots over 3 years. 6 different shoots over, I got a 6 hand gesture from the back. And it started during COVID because we couldn't put on fashion shows. We couldn't create content in the way that we used to. So brands were coming up with creative solutions to speak to their audience. And, you know, I connected with this photographer whose pictures look like paintings. I mean, they're beautiful. Elisaveta Porodina.
Porodina.
She's based out of Munich. And, you know, as someone who loves color, color is at the heart of what I do at Herrera, I was immediately drawn to her work because she paints with her camera. I mean, they look like brush strokes of oil paint.
And so it goes through black and white to yellow to... pink,
yeah, my favorite part actually
orange.
Is the contact sheet in the back, the table of contents, because then you can see the entire rainbow spectrum of the book.
Right, let me see. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is so beautiful.
And it was so fun. I mean, you know, after 100 books.
A lot of pictures.
A lot of pictures. Mm. I mean, 6 different shoots we did together.
Incredible.
And the first was actually done, so in the height of COVID, with dancers who couldn't perform because, you know, I was...
Well, you can
I
see
thought it was so sad.
That's a ballet fish.
That's a ballet dancer. Mm. Let's see, Wendy Whalen is in there, who I'm sure
oh,
you know.
Oh, boy, look at these.
But I was so touched by this idea of dancers who...
Who's that smoking?
Maggie Maurer.
Oh, boy.
Well, you don't see the cigarette, so you're assuming she's smoking. It could just be smoke coming out of her mouth.
It's really interesting photographs, interesting hairdos, interesting jewelry and beautiful clothing.
These, I think, are so beautiful.
So you made all these dresses.
I made all those dresses with a lot of help.
Yeah,
let me
of course.
The first to say.
Of course.
I work in a job where I am completely dependent on many hardworking people. I get to be the one who does fun things like sit and talk to Martha Stewart. But it's really the result of hundreds of people who bring these dreams to life. You know, I always joke that I don't have a job I can take with me.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all 6 delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you used COVID very well. Well,
thank you.
And filled your time with creativity and productivity, because to make a book like this with so many different people is really an accomplishment. This is a very nice first book.
Thank you so much.
Very nice. Next time,
99
you have,
to go.
Next time, you have to have more words in it of yourself.
Oh.
You're very eloquent.
I felt like a little bashful about even having my name on it.
Well, you did.
So I put it second.
Right, you did, but you put a lot of work there. So you designed these beautiful color palettes. How do you express yourself personally in color?
Because
here you are. Let me describe what this famous designer
so
is wearing. He's wearing a CH Carolina Herrera denim jacket.
I thought it looked very Martha.
It is very much me. And then black denim jeans and black Ford. Are those Tom Ford shoes?
They are.
Tom Ford shoes from current or olden days?
Current.
Okay,
I'm not wearing old shoes to see you.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Well, I also, in my defense, I thought, I didn't know that anyone would be looking at my outfit today, so I thought it was just a podcast.
But I do look at everything.
But it's terrible because everyone comes to me and says, you love color, you speak about collections, you speak about color, your collections are so colorful, what colors do you wear? And unfortunately, the answer is usually black. And it's really just out of a place of laziness, not out of a philosophical belief.
But I have been lucky enough to visit Wes and his husband, Paul Arnhold, at their new apartment, which has a lot of color in it.
It has a lot of color.
And beauty. It's such a beautiful place.
Thank you.
And before that, I also visited your farm, which I thought was just amazing.
Wow. From you, that is the highest
possible
praise.
Because you have animals. You have animals.
Life we have some geese
everywhere.
From you.
You have my Sebastopol geese.
And now that for many years we had this farm, which is essentially a children's fantasy, but we didn't have the children. So we were two grown men out there playing with our bunnies and our animals at the farm. Fortunately, we now have two children.
Oh, and beautiful children, Georgia, who is just an infant.
She's 7 months old.
And Henry, who is so cute. He's two?
He's 2 and 4 months. Oh. He just started preschool.
I just saw an Instagram of him dancing.
He's a very good dancer.
He is.
And his favorite song is
rhythm.
Old MacDonald.
He was doing this.
The guy can move, but he takes after Paul, not me.
He was on a dirt road at your farm dancing. Very cute. Were you playing music while he was there?
Yeah.
Oh.
He loves a tune.
Yeah,
he sings. He's a riot.
He's a very cute kid.
As you know, life is so much more joyful with the kids. And suddenly this farm has a whole new, we're seeing it through new eyes, and it's really magical. And I love these kids going out and playing with. Since he's been born, he knows that eggs come from chickens.
Well,
he goes out in the morning to the coop and gets the eggs. And I love raising kids who know that, especially.
That's right. And picking the apples. I had a picture of him picking apples.
Picking apples from
the
trees.
So nice. And
brushing the horses.
It is.
He has a miniature white pony now named
Franklin. He does?
Yeah, I'll show you a picture.
Has he been on the pony's back?
He loves him.
Good.
He walks him around on a leash.
So how has entertaining changed for you since you were both Paul and Wes entertain beautifully?
This is the best.
Casually, beautifully, elegantly. Oh, Paul. I must mention on this podcast, Paul Arnhold, Wes's husband, came on my Roku show for Hanukkah. And Paul is not a cook, but he brought his mother's applesauce recipe, and we served it on Douglas Friedman's latkes. And he is now officially one of my four Hanukkah hunks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
A Hanukkah
hunk. He was
hunk.
Very excited. He came, he went out to Bedford very nervous, and he came back very excited. We have more applesauce now in our kitchen from him practicing. Because imagine being poor Paul asked to join Martha Stewart to cook something on TV.
Well, he was absolutely fabulous. And
well,
you would have
you.
Never
I'll
known he suffered a moment of anxiety.
Oh, my God.
I recently saw you when you introduced me as I was awarded Best Cover Story by the Daily Front Row.
Very
well
deserved.
And you were so busy, but you took the time. I just want to thank you for taking the time to write a very, very appropriate and very thoughtful introduction.
Oh, my gosh.
For
thank
me.
You so much. I was so honored to do it. It's a really cool award. That was quite a celebrity-filled room of award recipients.
Yeah, the Elle magazine got Magazine of the Year.
Yeah, and you, if they didn't give you Cover of the Year, I can't imagine who they possibly could have given that to.
Well, that was just funny. But I
think you.
I think
you got up and said that. I think that was your first line,
did,
in fact.
Yeah, I did. I said it had to be the Cover of the Year from the 108 billion
yes.
impressions.
Direct quote.
And, and they all laughed. Everybody laughed.
Yeah, you were a hit. And I could also see the teleprompter. And you didn't stick to that teleprompter for 1 second.
No.
I'm bad.
Back to your fashion. Mm-hmm. You showed your show at the Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
You got very good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
What trends emerged from that fashion week here in New York that I'm going to look forward to?
Cleanliness.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. I think it was a real pared-down elegance that came out this season. I personally found myself in fittings subtracting, taking away a seam, taking away a ruffle, just to create pragmatic pieces, pieces that just feel like a great skirt, a great shirt, a great pair of heels.
Like
and
the,
really
allowing the new classics?
The new classics. Like my inspiration for the season was Carolyn Bessette Kennedy.
Oh.
This idea of a woman of great style combining basics in a way that creates something fabulous.
I remember her in her bias cut satin wedding dress thinking, how could anybody wear such a simple dress
and make
and
it look extraordinary?
Look amazing.
It's still to this
it.
Day probably the most copied wedding dress
it,
of all time.
It makes me cry every time I think about it.
So chic. I think I have every picture of her.
Besides editing and removing color, anything in color that
color,
you-
definitely we did cooler tones. So think lilacs and grays, silvers, soft pinks, kind of colors that whisper rather than yell, but when combined, create something magical. Like I love the combination of lilac and black, or yellow and white. You know, colors where the energy comes by their usage rather than just the pigment itself.
What about fabric?
Fabric. My favorite thing to do at Herrera is to reinvent kind of these traditional evening dressy ideas as day wear. So cutting what in the past would be a gown in cotton shirting, for example. Casual fabrics. Fabrics that work for your life in 2024, you know, and beyond. Pieces that you can just live in and be you.
Were you able to attend anybody else's show?
I did.
Like
I went to my friend Sarah Staudinger's show, who she has a brand called Staud, and showed at the Plaza. And it's so funny to go to a show. I mean, I'm used to doing things from a different perspective. But to sit there as an audience member is a very different experience, right? Because as you know, a fashion show is like 7 minutes, 8 minutes. It's a tremendous amount of work and money and time something so short that is immediately over. So to have the opportunity to experience the flip side of that was quite fun. And I try to do one a season to support a friend or to go just enjoy the experience.
That's nice. Have any designers really inspired you lately? Any other designers? Besides Carolina.
Yeah, I'm always looking at shows. I'm always looking at what women are wearing. I'm looking at what the stores are buying, what magazines are shooting. You know, it's every season, so many brands create so many things. To be honest, it sounds silly, but I'm inspired by everyone who works in this business because it's, you know, it's such an incredible form of self-expression. Two of my permanent favorites are Valentino and Chanel, I always love. But the women who wear Herrera are always my greatest muse.
Well, we could talk for hours, but
hours.
I just want to thank you so much for coming here today and to encourage you to keep up the amazing work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And it's a great pleasure to catch up with you, Wes, and thanks for joining me here at my office on my podcast.
I have a lot of work to do to create 99 more
yes,
books.
Yes, you do. So. Start thinking.
I know.
Colormania is now available at Rizzoli and Carolina Herrera stores and at carolinaherrera.com. And please be sure to follow Wes on Instagram at Wes Gordon and at Carolina Herrera for the brand.
You just broke Instagram, I think.
Uh-huh. You're gonna get a
lot
more
followers. From the queen of Instagram herself. Thank you so much.
Thank
this was
you.
Lovely.
And enjoy your children as much as you seem to. It's amazing.
Well, come next door. You can share them
anytime
you want.
I will. Thank you so much,
Thank
Wes.
You, guys.
And my love to Paul. Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.